Oh, you know when you see two dogs meet and they get excited about each other and their butts start going?
Tails wagging? Absolutely.
What's up? We're happy.
We're happy. Are we recording?
We are, in fact, recording. Okay.
So I don't know why this topic popped into my head recently, but it just did. Oh, you know why? Because I've been thinking about Joy a lot more recently.
Who is she?
Yeah. I'll tell you later. No. And so that's maybe a topic down the road, because I do feel like we can... I don't know. What got me thinking about Joy was... that I feel like it's almost something you have to foster.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't come naturally to everyone, feeling moments of joy necessarily, especially depending on just how you've been socialized and whether or not that's been something that's sort of fostered in you.
Yeah,
or,
I think
or it, pointed out to you.
And I think it can get harder over time.
It can get harder over time. And we can get kind of stuck in ruts or negative loops and things like that. And so I wanted to talk a little about happiness, because it's very much related, and there is... there have been a lot of research done on it and conversations already had about it. In fact, during the pandemic, I took that, I think it's a run out of Harvard, but it's this free course on happiness.
Oh.
And so that was really interesting as well, because I did learn a lot. Some things I knew already, but it was really about like tapping into that. Why don't I start with some... things that I've learned about happiness over the years in terms of actual research, like the science of happiness. So one point is that we can't be happy all the time. And I feel like sometimes people expect that they should be happy more often or happy all the time.
There's pressure, isn't there?
There's pressure. There's kind of pressure around it. And I mean, social media and things like that don't help too, because mostly what we see are these very happy moments that people are living.
Totally. Or even it's just like, oh, hey, how's it going? The only correct response is, oh, good.
I make the mistake of being truly honest sometimes, and then I realize that that's not what they were expecting. That interaction with neurodivergence, that is neurodivergence right there. Because I'm like, well, actually, and I go into a couple very authentic details. But no, it's not something we can achieve all the time. And there's things that contribute to it. Like it's not all within our power too. There's things in our genetic makeup, our nervous system that can make it more challenging for some people to be happy.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, wait. So should we define happiness? Do we have a...
You know what? I don't know that I have an actual definition. How would you define it?
Stuff that makes you smile.
Yeah. Stuff that makes you smile, things that bring you positive feelings.
Optimism.
Yeah.
Joy,
too, is in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we spend a lot of time thinking about depression, anxiety, or rumination, things like that, which are all, in my mind or from our previous episodes, forward looking or looking back and all of these types of things. Whereas I think, and I haven't done the Harvard study, but that joy and happiness is kind of about being in the present moment.
Yes, that's a very good point.
So I don't know. I think that's where I would kind of ground my understanding of happiness.
I was going to add the word contentment, and looking it up, the internet has done that for me as well. Happiness is a sense of well-being, joy, or content. So there's some things in our genetic makeup that can affect how often we feel happiness. Plus, if you think about the idea of contrasts, you can appreciate happiness more when you also experience unhappiness.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
good and evil.
Yeah, right? You need those contrasts in order to experience the opposite as well. So,
and often too, a friend of mine passed away semi-recently, and you feel such grief and sadness because of the joy and the light and the connection, at least that was my in thinking about losing this friend, that was something that kind of kept coming up for me, is that like it's the other side of the same coin. You know, Absolutely. It's like that person was so great and so beautiful, and now it's so sad because it's that opposition. I don't know if you prescribe to that. I don't know if it's like happy or sad, but like good and evil of having to be in balance.
But that's a really good point about grief there. And I don't remember the quote exactly, but this idea of grief being, it's like, it's because there's love there that mm-hmm. there's grief there.
Yeah.
Right. And the grief is you missing that object of your love. Like they're not there anymore for you to share that with.
It's like a little happiness hole.
Still, exactly. It is a little happiness hole. Right. And another thing, another reason we can't be happy all of the time is because our brains normalize everything. Mm. So whether it's something really amazing that happens to you or something really tragic, eventually we find a balance because our brains don't strive for happiness. Our brains strive for regulation.
Equilibrium. Exactly. And like, that's why the classic advice that you never want to hear is, oh, in time.
Yes. Yeah. It takes time. Right?
But yeah, you will balance out in time. And the thing that hurts right now won't hurt. And the thing that also is like extreme joy, it's like we talk about relationships a lot on this podcast, and think about like new relationship energy.
Yeah.
That fades.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, not for everyone.
Yeah, not for everyone. But yeah, so our brains adapt. And there's been studies around people who have like won the lottery versus mm-hmm. people who have really injured themselves severely. And within a year, they register the same levels of happiness. So another part of this sort of topic around happiness is that we often don't do a good job of anticipating what's going to make us happy. Mm-hmm. And there's a researcher named Dan Gilbert, I believe, who calls it miswanting. So we often miswant things, which is exactly, you know, the way it sounds. It's we don't do a good job of predicting those things that are going to make us happy. So for example, one thing we often get wrong is around choice. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think you're happier when you have choice, more choice, or happier when you have less choice?
Okay, if we're at a restaurant and there is a spiral notebook for a menu, it's too much.
Absolutely.
I want 5 good things.
Mm-hmm. And when you do order something, do you feel content in your choice?
Usually.
Okay, but is there ever a thing where you're like, but that also other thing might have been slightly better?
Going out for dinner with pals or a partner hack. I'm a big proponent of, hey, what are we getting?
Right.
I want to try lots of things.
Okay, so that's, you found the hack then. So that's cheating.
Oh, I'm a cheater.
That's cheating. Not all of us have that option. Okay, but there's a
kind if we go out, you will be sharing.
Okay, I will be sharing. Okay, that's, I'm cool with that. I like that. But there's this myth of choice, essentially. Yeah. This idea that more choice will lead to happiness. Mm-hmm. And there have been some studies around this too that are really interesting. Like, for example, these people, part of the study, they were asked to take a certain number of photos, and then everyone was forced to choose a print that they could have and take home with them. Half of the group was told that in a couple days or whatever, however long, they could change their mind. They always had the option to change their mind and take another one. But the other group, who was, you know, only had one choice and they had to stick with it, which group do you think would be happier, though, in the end, with the print that they chose?
Oh, one choice for sure.
What's that?
The ones who didn't have a choice.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so what the research has found is that we literally synthesize happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, we create happiness the most when we have no choice, when we're stuck with what we have.
In dating, I've heard it called the paradox of choice. And so an issue that actually has come from apps and all of those things, it's like always looking for that grass is greener. There might be something else. And I think we live in this world where it's like we're constantly conditioned that we have to like optimize everything. And I totally felt guilty to this of like, how can I make this just like that little extra percent better? Whereas if we just took the choice out of it and were like, oh, this is it, we would feel a lot like, I think you're absolutely right. We would feel a lot more content.
Right. And then even further to this study, they would give students or people in the study an option to say, do you want to take a course where you can have endless choice or not? And over 50% of the people chose to have more choice. Yeah. So they're essentially, again, miswanting. Like they're choosing to be unhappier.
Yeah. We don't know what's best for us.
We don't know what's best for us. Right.
And that's why dominatrix will always have a job.
I'm sorry, what?
No.
What's the connection there?
Okay, how did my brain get there?
How did your brain go there? I want to know. The choice? No choice? Oh, just being like dominated.
Domed. Yeah, okay. You don't have a choice.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. That's true. I mean,
chili pepper.
Yeah. Yeah, chili pepper. Let's see. What else was I going to say about that?
Oh, so I was going to say as well, it's the sooner you make the choice, I don't like.
Yes.
We do this thing, we'll make dinner, and then we're like, oh, we're going to put a show on. And I am the happiest when we are in the thick of a show. Lots of episodes, you know, to come, all of that. The worst thing could be is, like, you turn on the TV and you're like, oh, my gosh, there is literally 10,000 things. What are we going to watch?
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's like too much choice feels like still kind of no choice because you don't want to make one of those choices. I don't know. It's difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing about happiness is that I guess this relates to the idea too of us not being able to be happy all the time is that happiness isn't a state. It's a signal. Meaning
signal.
It moves us towards things that we think will make us happy or content. But it's not a permanent place we can be. It's more like, you know, that thing being dangled in front of us, pushing us towards some sort of goal.
So there's like some sort of evolutionary like reason for that. It's like you need to find those perfectly ripe berries because they will taste the best and that will light you up and make you happy. And that is also good for your health.
Yes. And it'll push you towards doing that again and doing that again. It's like a movement.
Oh, remember
forward.
The time I had those awesome blueberries? Let's do that again.
Yeah. Okay, and one thing as well that I learned from that course that I took was that there's other ways that we can optimize our happiness. And there's a survey that we'll link in our show notes by this institute called the VIA Institute, and they have this character strength study that you can do. And actually, when I first did this, I think it was pre-pandemic, and I noticed that, so it's 25 qualities or character strengths, I think, and they basically answer a bunch of questions and then they rank your character strengths from like 1 to 25. And that was when I learned how low gratitude was on my list.
And giving, receiving?
No, literally gratitude. Like,
just gratitude in general.
Gratitude was like the main character, not strength if it's low on the list for me, but it was a good reminder to foster that more. And that was, again, like right at the thick of me or the very beginning of the pandemic. And I realized why it was low on my list too, because part of my family dynamic has been, we kind of, a few of us bond over complaining about things. That's just been a way that we've done it. And so that obviously doesn't foster gratitude. Yeah. And in the pandemic, I needed gratitude so badly because it was so difficult in lockdown with a young child.
Yeah.
And so I had a little gratitude journal and my daughter had one a little bit. And some days my entries were as simple as cup of coffee in the morning or nice walk and like the simplest of things. But I just needed to recognize them. But I'm curious what your top 5 values were.
Okay, well, I don't think I paid for the full thing, so I'm not sure if I have 25.
The whole thing. No, I think it gives you the whole list.
Scroll down. Oh yeah, actually there are.
Okay, do you have any guesses?
Oh, connection is up there, maybe.
It's not even listed, but maybe it says something else.
Oh.
Okay, should we go like one for one?
Yes. Okay. Oh, maybe, no, you're right. Maybe connection isn't there. Okay. What's your top one?
All right. I think you're going to have...
Is it love?
That's my second.
That's my second too.
Okay, what was your top?
I'm a big nerd, so it was love of learning.
Oh, nice. Mine was kindness.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. Of course. Of course it was kindness.
It specifically says doing favors and good deeds for others.
Oh, classic Lauren. I love that.
Then love, and then humor was my third.
You know, humor used to be my third the first time I did this survey a couple of years ago. Now humor is my fourth, which actually I think is a bit of growth for me. Because I was laughing away a lot of things before. Mm. But my third one is perspective, which actually is described as being able to provide wise counsel to others, having ways of looking at the world that make sense to oneself / others.
Wisdom.
So
I love it.
That was interesting.
Perspective's way down at number 10 for me.
That's okay.
Forgiveness is my number 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Where's forgiveness for me?
Accepting other shortcomings, giving people a second chance, and not being vengeful.
Good for you. Creativity is my 5th. What's your 5th?
That's great. Social intelligence.
Ooh, that doesn't surprise me either.
Being aware of the motives, feelings of others and oneself, knowing what to do to fit into different social situations.
Code switching.
Yeah. You're very good at masking.
Yeah. So what we can do now that you know these things, you can lean into your top ones, and that will also add more happiness to your life. Because if you think about it, like kindness, you get happiness out of being kind to others and doing things for others. Like it's not just for those other people in a way. Like you fully enjoy that, right?
Yeah. Well, I think before we started recording today, I was like, yeah, it's been like a bad brain week. And so instead of doing the things I, you know, quote unquote, should do and like work, I was like, oh, I'm going to do all these little tasks. And I got the drinks that Dev likes stocked in the fridge and stuff like that. And I was like, that, like, I think with ADHD too, it's like you're kind of always chasing those little dopamine hits. I know I'm someone who can always like find motivation and joy in doing something for someone else before myself. And so sometimes I like lean into that to like kind of fill that happiness.
Absolutely. Bucket. But that's what it
or,
is.
Like, get that dopamine hit.
Yeah. So love of learning for me, I mean, I'm taking a Spanish class. I like to learn new things, like try new things all the time. Random. That's partly the Sagittarian in me, but I'll just like start a new hobby for a while. Yeah. Maybe I won't stick with it, but I learned a bit about it. And then I move on to something else. Right. Humor as well. Sharing jokes with others, funny memes, like there's ways that you can lean into all your top character strengths. Nice. And that will bring more happiness into your life.
I don't think I would have necessarily thought that. It's like I maybe thought, oh, I need to like bring these other ones up because I'm already have that bucket.
I mean, you can if you feel like you need to, like I said I did with gratitude. I mean, you can bring those up, but it's unlikely that if it's your 24th one, you're going to get it to number 1. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the ones that are your top are somehow natural to you. Mm-hmm. You know, they come
it's
to you.
It's like who you are.
It's who you are. They come to you naturally. So there's ways that you can lean into those, like creativity, humor, perspective. Those are things like perspective can be just doing this podcast and you know what I mean? Talking about interesting topics or having a great conversation with a friend over a coffee. Like they're simple things, but they can bring you happiness, especially when they hit on some of the things that are most valuable to you, right?
Just out of curiosity, give me your last two one.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask for that. Okay, so gratitude is still low, which I'm bummed about, but
I want your 24.
Okay, but what I did bring up is appreciation of beauty and excellence. That was one thing that I wanted to
bring
up too.
Those are cousins or friends.
Yeah, they are, exactly. So gratitude is still my 23rd. My 24th one is zest.
Zest.
Approaching life with excitement and energy, not doing things halfway or half-heartedly, living life as an adventure, feeling alive and activated. I mean, granted, I'm 44 years old and I do get tired and I do have health issues that make me tired too, but it's because I think in the question when they ask you, they're like, would someone describe you as
zesty
or as like, and I was like, God, no. And I don't want them to. like bubbly. Yeah. I don't want anyone to describe me as bubbly. So I think I just cringed at the question and just automatically was like, no to that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Mine was prudence.
Prudence. How do they define that?
Being careful about one's choices, not taking undue risks, not saying or doing things that might later be regretted.
So just like living.
So reckless?
Reckless?
I don't know. And then it's not really surprising, self-regulation was also down there.
Oh my God.
Being disciplined, controlling one's appetites and emotions.
That's amazing.
So get on this ride.
Hey, you know?
Look,
I can't have them all, you know?
I think I'm regulated out here often and then in here less.
A little more chaotic.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that you came up with when I asked you to think about what makes you happy?
Similar to you, coffee.
Yeah.
I love my morning. Like, I make my partner Dev coffee every morning, and it's like that little time where I know we're going to be back in bed with our little cups of coffee, and it's just like, it's the best.
That's
I
love so cute. That is so cute.
And then I put like walks in the woods, mm-hmm. big trees. You know when you see two dogs meet and they get excited about each other and their butts start going?
Yes. The tails wagon? Absolutely.
Waking up in your water. I always find that to be like just like such a, it doesn't happen all the time. And when it does, I feel really happy about that. Reality TV with pals.
Yes.
Also, gossip.
Well, how about not just reality TV with pals, but then talking about the reality
that's
TV.
Why gossip's there. Sports.
I put sports too.
Not watching.
Playing tennis.
I mean, in a group, socially, if it's the right people, I can have fun anywhere. Yeah. I think.
Even watching sports can be exciting and fun.
But no, playing. Yeah. So tennis, obviously. Mm-hmm. those are some of my...
Yeah, I've got a lot of the same. I have writing on there as well and reading in there as well because, again, I'm a big nerd. Time with people I love, learning new things, laughing. Shout out to Dev, I put being a silly goose because we've talked about that before. Connection, good conversations, my kiddo, dogs, lots of things. Yeah, and it doesn't, I think we also have, we can also sometimes have an image of happy having to be like a big thing, a big new thing you do or just something grand. But there's so many little things that contribute to our happiness and do so more often and in bigger ways than we think so.
Those little joys are, can be some of the best.
Yeah.
I think going back to what you said earlier about all the choice, I think chasing that bigger happiness can kind of get in the way of the little ones that are right in front of you, the connections with people. And even some of my favorite moments in a day are those connections with strangers where... I don't know, you could kind of like every interaction's like can be an opportunity to make someone's day or that kind of thing. I guess see my number one.
Yeah, exactly. Kindness. Lawrence is walking around making everybody happy and to make her happy too. Yeah.
Which is that rude?
It's not
like,
at all.
What's that phrase? It's like it's there's like no unselfish
act. I know. It's like a selfish selflessness.
What a prick.
No.
Okay, so how do we be more happy?
How do we be more happy?
Less choice.
Less choice, in a way. Or we have to recognize that more choice doesn't mean more happiness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And wanting, I guess, I can't really say wanting the right things, but maybe it's more about not wanting the wrong things. Like, there's even been studies, which I found fascinating, around, like, most people probably think they'd like to win the lottery. Mm-hmm. But there's research done on lottery winners where the vast majority are unhappier after winning the lottery because a lot of them like lose their money or go bankrupt or suddenly don't know who to trust because friends and family are all reaching out or there's like addiction issues that come up, people lose money.
Oh, they have so much choice.
Yes.
And then get immobilized by what to do with their money because they're like, I could do anything.
Yeah. And so the research shows that most people are unhappier after winning the lottery, yet, you know, 70% or something of people still buy a lottery ticket every week.
Jeez.
You know?
And I guess the other thing too would be leaning into who you are and the things that, if you take this quiz.
Yes, the VA Character Institute study. Yeah,
if you take that quiz. Sorry,
survey, yeah.
Yeah, if you take that quiz and kind of leaning into the things you already know probably intuitively about yourself.
Yeah, and just know that we do synthesize happiness in situations that we're in. So no matter what situation you find yourself in, there you will find things within it. Mm. Or you will at least over time come to find happiness in that. And it's funny that study that I told you about where people could choose different prints. Mm. Well, there was a few different studies done, but one was done with amnesiacs, like people who literally could not remember which photo they had chosen. And they still by far ranked the one they didn't even know they chose higher.
Amazing.
Than the one they didn't.
Yeah.
So they couldn't even remember which one they chose, but somewhere in their brain,
it was the right choice.
It was the right choice. It had registered that, oh, that's the one I chose. I like that one more, which I just find fascinating.
Yeah, that's cool.
This week, thanks for joining us for another episode of Dear Queer. If you like this episode, please share it with someone you love.
This has been another episode of Dear Queer. Just a reminder, we are not actually experts. Any advice given should actually come from our experts, who we will bring in from time to time. Music brought to you by Sean Patrick Brennan, produced by myself, Lauren Hogarth, and your host, as always, Elena Papianis.
I'm getting that.